and conduct. Now, I appreciated Rich's prayer this morning. You know, I think it's really important that we focus our lives so much on the Lord that we glorify Him in what we do and how we react and how we respond to life situations. So I'd like to share a little bit of what I've studied in this area with you this morning. Now, if none of you need to hear this, please bear with me while I preach to myself, okay? Because I need it. I don't know about you. I have to be reminded on a constant basis of what my real purpose is for being here. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Can you turn this down just a little bit, Tim? It's kind of ringing in my ears. As long as you still have enough to get the recording, okay? Colossians chapter 1, I'll be reading from the NIV version. I want to read the first 14 verses in this chapter just so we get a good context of what we're looking at. We're not actually going to look at all those verses. We're just going to look at two in particular in this passage. But Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in you, for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now, I want to challenge everyone in here to, after you leave here today, take that passage of Scripture and read it over several times, slowly, methodically, stopping to think about what it's saying, because I think it'll have a big effect on your life, spiritually speaking. And in this passage, Paul tells the Colossians, he says, hey, we got this great report about you from Epaphras. And ever since we got that report, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're going to focus on verses 9 and 10 here. And when I read that passage, you know, Paul's saying, we heard a great report of how things are going with you spiritually. And because of it, we haven't stopped praying for you. And I stopped and thought, I said, you know, that's kind of different than the things that I am, how would I say, influenced to pray for. And by that I mean, isn't it true that most of the time when we pray for other people, it's as a result of a need that we hear that they have, or a struggle that they're having? Maybe they're dealing with a sin and having a hard time getting through it. Or maybe they're having difficulty dealing with people. I don't know about you, I had to think and honestly say that a lot of times that's what causes me to go to prayer. But this is different in Paul's case. He said, this is a great report. I'm hearing good things about you. And because of that, I haven't stopped praying for you. Let's look at what he prayed for them. Here we have a group of believers who are obviously growing spiritually by the text. It says they were bearing fruit, and yet Paul says that they were praying for them. He says in verse 9, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we've got a group of believers that are doing well spiritually, and Paul's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. A couple words to look at here. The word fill in this verse is from the Greek, and it's plerao. It means to furnish or to supply liberally. Paul's asking God to liberally supply these believers with the full knowledge of His will. Now the word knowledge comes from the Greek, and it's a word called epinosis. It means knowledge of God, obviously, but especially the knowledge of His holy will and the blessings that He's bestowed on men through Christ. So if we tie that together, we see that Paul is asking God to abundantly and liberally supply these believers with a knowledge of God's holy will and a knowledge of the blessings that He's bestowed on men. Folks, if you ever have a problem figuring out what to pray for me or for anyone else, we can follow this as a great example of how to pray for each other. And I say that because if we are committed to praying for each other to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and the blessings that He's bestowed on us, as we do learn God's will and respond to that correctly, then that just strengthens the whole body of Christ. And we grow spiritually through that. You know, Paul prayed the same kind of prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." There's the same word, epinosis, in the knowledge of Him. Now this is the type of knowledge that we should all be in the habit of praying for each other. As I said, we should make it a habit to pray that we would grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you to turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1. I want to take a look at a verse in here that uses this same word so we can kind of flow the usage, or follow the flow of the usage of this word epinosis. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through what? Through the word we just talked about. Through knowledge. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. This word grace means a divine influence upon our heart. Obviously by God. And as a result, that influence on our own hearts is reflected through how we live. The word peace means a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot. When I read the definition to that, I had to think about my own life. I would love to have more grace and more peace in my life, as these words are defined. More of an influence of God on my heart so that it is reflected in the way that I live and how I respond to life situations. I'd also love to have more peace in my life. According to this definition, we have nothing to fear from God because we're in a right relationship with Him. And we're content with our lot in life. I think far too often we grow discontent with our lot in life. And as believers, that's not the way we ought to be responding. Because God is sovereign over everything. We all know that. Now what is Paul's reason that he gave for praying this prayer for the Colossians in verse 9? If we look at verse 10, he gives us the reason why he is praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. So let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And we pray this, why? In order that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Worthy of the Lord. Glorifying God in the way that we live. So he says, there's four things we've looked at in this verse. He says he wants them to be filled with knowledge of God's will so that they would, number one, live a life that is worthy of God. Number two, that they'd live a life that was pleasing to him and pleasing to other people. Number three, he prayed this so that they would bear fruit in all the works that they do, in all the good works that they do. And he said, number four, I pray this prayer so that you would be growing in the knowledge of God. One commentator I read put it this way. He said that this God-glorifying conduct will actually be a result of being filled with a clear knowledge of his will is easy to see. For the more God's children know him, the more they will also love him, and the more they love him, the more they will also wish to obey him in thought and in word and in deed. And I thought that was an outstanding definition. Did you think about that? If we're filled with the knowledge of God, then we will love God because we will see him for who he is and what he actually has done for us and the blessings he's given us. We see so much need, I think, for God-glorifying conduct in the church today. I have to admit that I'm certainly not perfect. I mean, every single day I battle this flesh. And many days I get to the end of my day and I'm disappointed in the way that I've responded to life situations. That's why I wanted to, for me personally, focus in this area. So that I could more and more grow into a life that glorifies God in the way that I respond to life situations. And so I want to challenge all of us this morning to be thinking very seriously about whether our lives really are glorifying God, and whether we live worthy of the Lord, and whether we're pleasing to him, and how that we respond to everyday life. Are we bearing fruit all the time? Are we growing? I think the bottom line question that I know it was for me, the bottom line question I had asked myself is, whose glory and whose pleasure do I really live for? And I have to admit there's sometimes that I'm only living for me. And I base that by honestly evaluating how I respond to certain situations and certain things in my life. The selfishness can come out any second if you're not on your guard. So I think if we can't honestly say that we're living for God's glory and his pleasure, if we think about some of the scriptures that deal with that, I think we would be helpful to us to be able to respond correctly and glorify God. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How many of you ever heard that verse before? Let me see, show your hand. That's a real familiar verse. We are not our own. That struck me so hard this morning when I read it again. I am not my own. If I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not my own. I belong to God. He paid a price for me. He bought me. And how dare I live my life for me? Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Another verse that if I remember that, first of all, I'm not my own. God owns me. Secondly, everything that God created, this verse in Revelation 4:11 says what? Why were we created? Not for our own pleasure. for God's pleasure, to please Him and to glorify Him. That's the purpose we're here. No other purpose but to glorify God, no matter what our walk in life is, no matter what it is. We're here for one purpose and one purpose only, folks, and that's to glorify God and to bring pleasure to Him. So I'd like someone to answer this question for me. What is our primary source for getting the knowledge of God? Anybody? You can answer. The Scripture. Absolutely. God gave us His inspired Word so that we could know His will for our lives. So it stands to reason, if we don't spend time in the Word of God, how in the world can we walk around saying that we know that this is God's will for us? I want to ask you a series of questions. I did this last time that I spoke, last month. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. First one, how much time in a 24-hour day do you spend cultivating your relationship with the Lord? I want you to honestly think about that for yourself. How much time out of a 24-hour day do you purposely put aside to cultivate your relationship with God? How much time in a 24-hour day do you spend focusing on the commands of Scripture and then obeying them? Show of hands. Please be honest. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're here to help each other grow. How many of you read your Bible this morning before you came to church? Okay. How many of you read your Bibles yesterday? Okay. How many of you read it every day this week? Obviously, there's some that haven't read it every day this week because not everybody raised their hand. How many of you make a habit of reading and studying your Bibles for more than 30 minutes a day and have done it this past week? Please let these questions penetrate. How many of you are memorizing significant portions of Scripture and meditating on them every day? How many of you are reading a book, not just the Bible, but maybe a book that's helping you to grow spiritually? Anybody reading, you know, a book by a well-known author that you like that's helping you to grow? Those are good tools for us to grow spiritually. How many of you had a significant conversation with another believer this week about the things of the Lord? Okay? About the Scriptures. Encouraging each other. And challenging each other to read and to grow. How many of us spend time every day praying for the physical and spiritual needs of each other? Every day. Now, how many of us can honestly say that God is the absolute center of our life, the soul of our being, and the only source of our greatest joy? How many of us can honestly say that everyone and anything else in our lives takes second place to our relationship with God? Think about that one. Think about what takes the place of God in your life. And how many of you plan everything else around the priority of cultivating your relationship with God and your relationship with other believers? And around the priority of obeying what God says are the two greatest commandments. Matthew 22, 36, 39 says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" What is it? Jesus replied and said what? "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." The version of Marxism, "with all your strength." That's the first and greatest commandment God tells us, is to love Him with everything we have. And the second one is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, we have a long way to go there, I know that. We love ourselves pretty good, but it's kind of tough sometimes to get outside of that and love other people the same way that we love each other, our own self. Oftentimes we'll meet our own needs, but forget to meet the needs of those around us. This is a very penetrating area, and it ought to be, because we need to get to the point in our spiritual lives when God is the very absolute center of everything that we do. Because remember, we're not our own. God bought you. If you're a believer, you've been bought with a price. You belong to Him. And everything that we do ought to be planned with the priority of the fact that it glorifies God. Nothing should stand in the way of that. That's the greatest command. Love God, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, soul, and mind. But based on, are we able to say that we live a life that's worthy of the Lord? This is what Paul prayed in this passage in Colossians. That these believers would live a life that's worthy of the Lord. Do we live a life that's worthy of the Lord? He prayed that they would live a life that was pleasing to Him and others. Do we do that? He prayed that they would bear fruit every good work. Do we do that? And are we growing in the knowledge of God? And based on our own assessment this morning, we need a lot of work there in that area. Because we can't grow if we're not spending time in the Scripture. We can't grow if we're not making that a priority in our life. And then talking to each other about it and encouraging each other to grow. We need each other to do that. Now, I was hoping things would be different than the last time we met, but they're not. We still have a majority of our own body here who still need to make it a habit and a priority to get into the Scriptures every day and spend time in there so that we can grow. Reading and studying God's Word has got to become a priority in our lives, folks. If we ever hope to live a life that's worthy, a life that's pleasing to Him, a life that bears fruit, and a life that's growing in His knowledge. Our love for God and our obedience to Him are directly related to our knowledge of Him. That's why it's so important to go into the Scriptures and spend time there every day. Not just over so often, but every day. We can do that. We find other things that we really love to do, we really go out of our way to make an effort to be sure we're able to do that, don't we? Absolutely. We find something we love to do, we make time to do it. Let's end this with looking real quick at 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'm sorry for the delay. Because I think this, and we've all heard this verse too. If we would put this to memory and walk around every day remembering this scripture, I think it would be so beneficial to our growth and our focus on God and how we can glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, why should we do it? For the glory of God." I took another version of the Bible and I looked it up. I think it's the Life Application Bible. It says, God must so permeate our lives that all we do is for His glory. Keep this as a guiding principle by asking, is this glorifying God? Or, how can I glorify God through this? The whole point is to have it at the very focus, very center of our thinking all the time. God-glorifying conduct. Whatever we do, we should do it to glorify God. And folks, remember, we can't get to that point if we're not spending time in His Word. So I challenge all of us, and I promise you, if I get another chance to come up here, I'll ask you the same question. But I won't wait until then. And I don't want you to wait till then to ask me either. Let's get to the point where we hold each other accountable for our spiritual life. Let's not be afraid to ask each other if we've been reading. I'm guilty of that. I'm afraid to ask because I'm afraid I'm going to offend someone. So let's give each other permission to hold each other accountable for our spiritual growth so that we can live a life that glorifies God. Let's pray. Father, I know in my own life I have a long way to go to be the kind of believer that you want me to be, one that glorifies you in everything that I do. God, I pray that all of us in here would seriously make a commitment to make you the absolute center and the focus of everything that we do, everything that we think about. That God, our decisions, every decision we make would be made with the thought of whether it's going to glorify you in what we do. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you burn these truths so deep into our thinking that they will stay with us. I pray, God, that we won't do like we do many times, is leave here knowing in our minds and our hearts that we need to grow, but then don't do anything about it. God, I pray that you'd bring us to a point in our lives where we're not afraid to hold each other accountable, that we would become a body of believers who care for each other enough and love each other enough to help each other become what you want us to be. Thank you, God, for this time in your word today. I pray that you bless and protect us throughout the rest of this day and the rest of our week. And help us, Lord, to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.